Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You said steady, like I heard on the advert this week on the radio.
Steady.
Which is for Skoda, because they're now calling it Skoda.
Skoda.
And I think that's a good move, actually.
Why?
Because Skoda reminds me of all the jokes you used to have about Skodas.
But no, but that's how you say it in the language.
I know. Yeah, but I'm saying, but the fact they're going, Skoda. They were going, panoramic roof is standard. That's Skoda. That's Skoda.
Can I just say
so many times.
No one's going to say Skoda.
Yeah.
Everyone says.
Why did you make it sound more messy? Skoda.
Skoda. No, they will, Satch, because everyone's now saying Hyundai.
Are they
a Hyundai.
No, they're not. Yeah. Hyundai.
No one says it, Kate.
Come on.
If I went to that, I would say it properly. I'd be like, bruv, can I see the latest Hyundai?
I like your new Skoda.
Yeah. I would never say that.
What does he say? Like Skoda. Massey.
Yeah, you've somehow made Scandinavian.
What
is it? It's Czech, isn't it?
Skoda. Czech.
Yeah.
Skoda.
Skoda. We'll have a Skoda moment.
Yeah. Skoda Kodi.
Yeah, Skoda.
Skoda. That's a good one, Satch. That is good bit of knowledge from Satch.
What do you mean? To weddings all the time.
What's Skoda Kodi?
So basically, there you go, Satch. You can explain it.
Skoda Kodi is the game that you play once you get married. You know,
do they play that in Punjabi?
Oh, like bittersweet. Yeah. Well, you got to drink. You got to drink milk.
It's a tal with red water in it.
You got to look for whose ring.
You got to look for a coin or ring or whatever it is.
There's loads of like shells in there as well, and then there's a ring.
So imagine a big tal, pan,
right?
Like a big tray thing.
Yeah,
that's a bit deep. Then they fill it with like leaves,
red water.
It could be red or white water,
so you can't see it.
And it's got other bits in it other than the coin or
like
the ring.
Shells and stuff like
and
that.
And then like the priest or whoever's conducting this will hold whatever it is, put it in. Then the bride and groom have to fight to grab it.
It's a round of three.
Like what's it called? You know, like a lucky, not lucky dip.
Lucky dip. Yeah, apple bobbin.
That sort of thing. Yeah, you're kind of going for it.
And then whoever wins the ring, is basically means that they're going to have control in the marriage.
Yes. It's funny. Even in the temple in the Godwara, whoever gets up or sits down first.
They're
going to be the one in control. I'm like, you know what? I don't think you should be starting off your relationship like, yeah, you're in control.
It's very dated, isn't it?
I thought of that when I was at a wedding as well.
And also a bit like, negative. Like, why does it matter who's in control?
Because now it's all about 50-50.
Yeah, and also, no, all relationships should be about 50-50. They should be just about kind of going, you know what? Some days it's
some
days it's me.
Even like the stuff about stealing shoes. I was like, that's a bit raggo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I just say, now that we've gone this far on that, and this
we're in wedding chat.
But can I just say, the stealing of the shoes
has gone
so far fetched, so ridiculous.
Yeah. Like Royal Rumble,
yeah. Where people are now like pulling, fighting, grappling.
Honestly, I've seen Massey thrown over the mandap.
You're right. Seriously.
The chair.
Seriously.
The chair shot. Yeah. Someone's here with a chair.
Forget the people's elbow. The table. It's the Massey's Godda.
The last one I went to, one of the guys was bleeding.
I'm going
to
give it a Massey's Godda.
One of the guys was bleeding.
It's become
ridiculous now because obviously there's a new generation of young people now.
It's a cage match.
Yeah, I'm just going to fight. Before there was a little bit of
a fight.
It was more of like a gamey thing. Now it's like as my grand would say, dubba dubby. It's just like it was all a bit,
you know, friendly with that song. What's that song from Hamab Ke Kon?
Yeah. Jute de do pese le.
See, that's all friendly music.
Yeah.
Now it's like, rah. Yeah. Mama said, knock you up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's become like Stormzy. It's become, you know, it's like Santan. Yeah. Yeah. It's become like, you know, that.
Gigs.
Also, in that same way, the other thing that's come, has gone too far, and I don't know if you guys do this in your weddings, where you, when you do the Milni and you meet your opposite number, so the girl's mama meets the dad's mama.
Yeah. That happens in the wedding, I think.
Right, yeah. So they do the Milni outside.
They're a pair of what?
They're a pair of mummy. Yeah. Pair of mummy, pair of chache.
Okay.
Pair of thaye, pair of every, it's always the men. But whoever picks the other one up,
they have that band.
But bruv, I've seen them get so awkward.
Yeah.
Like, even my...
What? Because some people don't want to be lifted
cousin,
up.
He put his hands together, yeah. But grabbed him like he put one hand through the front of his crutch and one hand through the back. And so imagine like he's sitting in a sling.
Yeah,
he's sitting in a sling of his arm. And then he's lifting him up. But
grabbed him by the nuts.
You can't lift someone in between their legs.
This like is that. The problem, though. Like, this is the problem with Gujaratis getting married to Punjabis. There ain't no way the Gujaratis are lifting the Punjabi men up.
And that's exactly it. You get the guy who goes gym and thinks he can.
No, but then, do you know what? Now, forget this. Next Milne, if we're ever going to one, Tommy, I'm just going to go gym and pick up six new mamas.
Yeah, right.
And that's it. We're going to take them.
I'm going to go, right, these are my mamas.
I think someone should invite Tommy to commentate on that.
So, when
I think it's a brilliant sport.
So funny. I want cheerleaders. Everything.
Can I tell you what my little USP is? I don't host many weddings, have I told you, but when I do host a wedding, I've said to them now, because I've done it two or three times, I've gone, let me introduce them in a Royal Rumble style and fashion.
So I'll go,
Wayne in at, you know, 300 pounds.
Yeah.
He's come from New Zealand.
Hailing from.
It's the mama, let's say, I don't know, Darshan, I don't know why I'm saying that, right? Yeah. Right. And then and he's going to meet, da-da-da. But then, because I do that, they get a little bit more G'd up. Yeah. So you got to tone it down. You got to give them a big up entrance, not like a who's the bad man here. But it's
and
hilarious. It's hilarious.
In the red
anyway,
corner.
All that came from
anyway. Back to script.
Skoda Goda.
Back to script. Where are we?
This is
my nimble pony.
By the way, this is a lovely, lovely place. And look, all of the restaurants we get to go to are great. They're good friends of ours. They're run by friends of ours. But this one that we just had some food here, it was delicious. We are at Bombay Central. In Harrow.
Yeah.
And Bombay Central, the whole restaurant is themed like a, you know, like a railway station. So lots of railway artifacts, lots of little trains everywhere. You know, and I remember actually now, Kej, I think you brought me here about 7-8 years ago.
Me and you came for a little romantic one here.
Yeah, I think we might have done. It's always romantic.
I know, Sat wasn't available. Me and Tommy came for just a little two-man little dinner.
And I remember thinking...
Candles?
You know what? They've done it right. Like the decor. Forget the food for 1 second. The look of the place is A,
it's nice,
clean. Yeah. B, at least like, you know, the combination of bricks, signs, like woodwork, panelling. You know, the sign, like, no, sorry, like train signs.
I know what you mean.
All signs. Toilets this way.
Fire exit.
Yeah. Right. All of that, like the, everything is like just themed up.
Well lit. Even the telly's got all the train names on it. I've been on most of them trains.
Have you said? Yeah. I'm quite surprised you've been on all those trains.
Sat, you're talking about, you know, like you get those, the boards at the train station where
the departure boards,
when it's flickering, all the things flicker. That comes up as a little holding screen on the Shatabdi Express.
I've been on that.
I thought it was Shatabdi.
Someone shout on the train probably because it stunk when I was on there. But it's called Shatabdi Express. I've been on that.
Okay.
Where did that go? There was a couple of them I've been
where
on.
Where is Shatabdi?
They start in Mumbai, but they go far.
Yeah, well, I remember the film Lion. Lion is so good, bro.
Great film.
Lion with Nicole Kidman and the two kids.
Yeah.
True story.
Very sad.
But that's because that kid was on the train for like adopted. 11 yeah, hours yeah, or whatever yeah. and just went all the way to another part of the country with no records.
But I've done that. I went from Gujarat to Goa.
Yeah.
12 hours on the train. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, but have you got the flatbeds and all that?
Yeah,
as well?
done it. Wow. I mean, that bed was disgusting.
I'm surprised you were on there.
Yeah, I've been everywhere in India.
But can't you go five stars?
Were the funds low or something? Why didn't you just take a flight?
Do you know what? I think it was a load of us doing it, and it was actually
fun.
Well, what was the food like on the train?
Oh, horrendous! Oh. Took my own sandwiches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I ain't gonna eat that train food. No, are you feeling?
No, I would,
bro. They ain't got no places to go when you need to go after you've eaten that food.
Oh, man.
So you've got to be tactically eating.
I thought you could upgrade and for like a few quid and just get an amazing...
No. The toilet is still at the bottom of the, you know, the actual... It's the hole. You see pebbles.
Yeah.
The pebbles clean your backside. You've got
pebbles coming out of you.
Pebble on
and
pebble.
And the pebbles coming up. Smashing.
Pebble dash.
Smashing the backside.
It's called the pebble dash for a reason. You got to dash in and dash out. Well... Forget that side. Sorry, that was a disgusting talk there because the food here was fantastic. It really was.
Lovely.
It was tasty. It was clean. It wasn't thalified. And by the way, we had, okay, I'm looking at
six.
There are no leftovers. I'm literally looking at empty plates now. But it started off with the mogul chips. They were so crispy. Normally, mogul chips can be a bit chewy.
Yeah.
I think recently I've had a lot of Manchurian? Is that what they're called? Mm. I feel like that's the wrong
Manchurian?
Word.
Manchurian? Is it like Indo-Chinese kind of
sauce? Yeah. So I've had that mogul chips in that style.
Oh.
What's someone from Manchester called then?
Mancunian.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought I was getting mixed up. I said he got it mixed up. I was like, hold on, I said the wrong word.
Chicken Mancunian.
Yeah.
Chicken Mancunian.
I suddenly just got muddled up
there
in my head.
There was a film, wasn't it? The Manchurian Girl or something.
Yeah.
Boy.
Child.
Child, something like that.
Manchurian Girl. Manchurian Kid.
No.
That's Liberian Girl.
That's Liberian.
Liberian.
We had an egg biryani. I've never had an egg biryani. Oh,
egg biryani. That was banging. So basically, spicy rice, but with just boiled eggs in it.
Beautiful.
No, I think really the, the coriander chicken was the one.
I like coriander. And the other,
the other
chicken, the red chicken was nice. And then what? Just sliced potatoes.
Such like the crispy corn.
The crispy corn was good.
He likes that because I'm not a big fan.
No, neither am I. But the paneer, your paneer was lovely as well. Yeah, so anyway, lovely food. Please give him a go if you are in the Harrow area. You will not be disappointed. We guarantee it. But it's nice to be here. In fact,
by the way, it took me 2.5 hours to get here. Just saying.
Really?
Yeah. Really? It's worth it though.
Left at 5:15. Got here 7:45.
Because you are South London.
Yeah, I'm like, and this is on the other side of the world. Yeah.
It literally is. London's crazy like that. You got like, you'd probably travelled about 15 miles.
Yeah, no, it is about 15, 16 miles.
Right.
Yeah.
And it took you 2.5 hours.
Mad, isn't it?
That is
mad. I spoke to you for quite a lot. About work stuff.
I go, where are you now? I go, you nearby? And he goes, what? And he goes, well, no, you said I'm 20 minutes away.
20 minutes away.
And you went, bruv, since I spoke to you, I haven't moved.
And we spoke for about half an hour, 20 minutes away still.
But I'll tell you why. We only spoke for half an hour. Sorry, Kedge, in case you're wondering, like, oh, what? You're chatting all the way here.
Fine. That's fine.
We only spoke for half an hour.
We were just gassing.
I was just saying, where are you? And then he started gassing. And then I'm like, then he got stuck in traffic. Then I felt under pressure to keep him company.
Right.
Because I'm like, I can't go, well, I'm here.
No, it's cool. You don't need to keep me company. Whereas, nice of you.
This is the difference in the, maybe this is a reflection of our friendship. Because then I run Kedge. I went, Kedge, where are you? He goes, 2 minutes away. Put the phone down.
Yeah, see you later, bye.
Oh, you know,
do you want to keep him company?
I go, where are you? He goes, where are you? I go, I'm in a car park. He goes, 2 minutes away. Wait for me. I went, all right.
Yeah,
that was it.
To the point, direct.
To the point, no mucking around. But I think maybe that's because we've had a bit of time together over this weekend. That's why maybe we're a bit minimal.
Can I say that was nice on Sunday?
It was nice.
We were all at the Queens of the 90s Rewind Tour, which was the concert that we were kindly partnered with to host through Grace Entertainments. And remember, we were hosting our podcast at Bahara. Bahara is one of their restaurants as well. So the Grace guys also own the restaurant. But they organized these Rewind Tours. So they did the Kumara Sanu, Udit Narayan ones and all that.
Yep.
And now they're doing the ones with just the ladies. Mm. And it was Anuradha Podwal.
Yep.
Kavita Krishnamurti and Alisha Chennai. Obviously, Alka Yagnik was supposed to be there, but she's still sick.
Can I just say, wasn't there a point in history where her name was Alisha Chennai?
Right. Mm. Thank you. Can we address
Chennai,
that?
Can we address that, please?
Potato.
Because
No. It was spelt with an O-O-Y. O-Y.
Correct.
Kedge, veg.
So, no, yeah. On the edge.
Ledge.
Yeah.
Let's get it right. Come on.
So, I always thought it was Alisha Chennai. Oh,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And then obviously I'm seeing all the literature on the posters and it's Chennai. AI. And I went, oh, is it Chennai? And literally, I think over the weekend, people from India, people who are management, people who are organizing, I heard it said both ways, Chennai and Chennai. Oh. And I never actually got to kind of go, is it Chennai or Chennai?
That was your chance, mate. That was a chance. You're never going
to
see her again.
I didn't even think to ask her. I just thought, when I introduced her on stage, I said Chennai.
You did. You did. And do you know what? I picked up on that. Because you said it and her name was on the screen behind, so I was just like,
what was on the screen? Was it AI or
AI?
Chennai. I think it might be one of those astrologer things. Everyone in India changes their names. They add an A, they take away an A, they add a Y, all that kind of stuff.
No, I think it's a regional pronunciation. Some people say Alisha Chennai and Lisa Chennai.
No one says my name differently in Hawaii compared to how they say it in Russia.
In India they could Chennai and
Chonier. I mean, apart from in Germany, they don't say J, so my name is Gayal. But apart from that, But that's just in that country.
And in Punjabi, that would be how are you? Like Kiale.
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 There we go.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, we missed an opportunity.
But it was, I'll tell you what, let's find out. Let's do a little post-concert analysis.
Yeah, let's do it.
Lots of people who are listening to this probably were there. Actually, do you remember when I said, I got a podcast with a browner, did you hear the little roar?
Yeah, I did.
Not a massive one. It's okay.
No, it's good. Right.
But we got a little, hey, like that from the browner mentioned on stage. And actually, I love old school. I've always loved old school. It's the reason why we do the Bollywood Time Machine shows and celebrating Sholeh and all that.
You're an old school guy.
Yeah, and that era as well, those 80s and 90s as well. Particularly.
The best era.
But the 90s is the one, and you had these legends. I said this before, though, on the podcast. I'm not too familiar with Anuradha Podwal as a name. I'm not really familiar with Kavita Krishnamurti. I'm not really familiar with even Alicia Junno.
Like, but you know the tunes.
Yeah. And then when I started going through it, I was like, oh, they're behind that, they're behind that. Because you know what it was? All those years on the radio, you would go, oh, that was Bolle Tunia from, you know,
K3G.
K3G.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that was Neem Chirai Mehdi from
Blade Runner.
Wesley Snipes in Neem Chirai Mehdi. Oh, when he does that dance.
Did you hear them, by the way, did you hear them shout out your favourite people? Laxmikant Pyarelal. Because that was the era. They all produced
all three of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know how relevant this is. I saw them shout out that Brambat geezer.
Yeah, Bali.
Bali Brambat.
Bali, yeah. I thought it was that. Yeah,
Bali Brambat.
Yeah. Bali Brambat, who was in
Patel rap fame.
See, that was it. They went,
was that him?
Yeah.
Patel rap. One hit wonder, but he smashed it.
But he got the big up for, like, she, because whoever, who was it?
Kavita Krishnamurti.
Kavita, who was the last act of the night, the main one.
Yeah.
In many
He's
respects.
A radio presenter, you know.
Yeah. And she went, oh, we have an absolute legend here. And I thought, oh, who's that? And
it was Tommy Sandu. Yeah, no, it's not him.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we did Birmingham as well as Wembley. You guys came to the Wembley one, obviously, because it's nearer. Mm. What do you reckon? What do you make of it?
Well, all I'm going to say is Kavita Krishnamurti is by far, and you know, I don't want to compare and all of that, but by far a superior singer to the point where I just loved the perfectionist in her.
Yeah.
She was every little moment, and she was going to the sound engineer, telling this, turn it up, turn it down, you got to do this.
Yeah, good.
But when she delivered the song effortlessly.
Yeah.
But I just loved, and you know, the level that she was singing on, because you could tell that she was. I'm not saying the others weren't, but she really is the master of her craft. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like a proper sensei.
I always say that about what anything anyone does, it needs to look effortless.
Yeah. And she was
effortless. And she was. Because I was watching that, I was just
like. And then she would just bang out the tune.
Yeah.
And even when she did the, you know, like, you know, when she does all the rags and all of that and the control of her voice, you know. And I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Another bottle. I love the songs that she sings as well. But Kavita Krishnamurti just took it to another level.
So the songs, and I'm going through her songs that. All the songs she's done over the years. Bole Chuniya, Neem Chirai Mehdi, Sajan Ji Ghar Aaya, Koi Mil Gaya, Tu Cheez Badi Hai, Mar Dala, Bin Tere Sanam, Tu Hi Re, the pretty one from Bombay.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Dola Re Dola, Hawa Hawaii.
When she did that, that was so good.
Brilliant.
Old school.
Brilliant.
Aankhon Ke Gustakiyan, Achi Lagti Ho.
Yeah.
You know, but this is hilarious. This is hilarious. I had an intro written out, and I did like we're gonna make so. And my intro was like, you know, I was so excited about seeing this artist on stage that last night Usne Meri Neem Chirai Mehdi. You know, I'm doing all that, right? You know, and I had all that, and then I said her manager was there, and the manager goes, anything you want to add? He goes, oh, maybe you can add this, and he wrote on a bit of paper.
Yeah.
28,000 songs, and she's got the, what's that? Oh man, I should know the name of the award.
Padma Shri
Award, right?
Yeah.
And she looked at it, she went, no, don't say the 28,000. I think it's only 25,000.
Oh, only.
And I went, and I laughed. She was serious. She goes, you know, people always overinflate their numbers. Yeah. Like,
talking of that,
yeah.
Straight away, boys, who does that remind you of that we spoke to? And the first thing he did on the interview was quote how many songs he'd sang. Who? You've forgotten, guys.
Who?
No.
Maybe before Satch's time, I don't know if he was on the show.
What, a singer?
Bollywood singer.
Came to the radio show.
And he just kept repeating how many songs he's done.
No, I don't remember at all.
In Measure Shamir.
Did he?
Don't you remember? He just kept banging on about, oh, he's done like 4 million songs.
Good for you, mate. Good for you, mate.
Can I be honest? I don't remember him, Measure Shamir, coming on the show.
No, he was a phone one. He was a phoner. He was a phoner.
I don't remember meeting him.
That's even worse then.
But it was a great show,
isn't it? Quit whining.
It was a great show, and you know, I just, you know what, it's just one of those opportunities that it's very rare to have those people sing for you live, and it was nice to be.
No, they weren't singing just for you, Kedge. But yeah,
no.
So one of the things I said in the group, because I didn't want to spoil it for you, because obviously I went to the Saturday concert in Birmingham, and I said I think parts of this concert, and I wrote in the group in our WhatsApp group. Is a bit Kedge. And I went, that's all I'm saying. And I can now say.
I didn't know
say,
what you meant by
what
that.
Okay, Satch, what did I mean by that?
Yeah, no, I know what you meant by that. Anuradha Podwa sung a bhajan.
Right.
Rated. Even it was, I mean, it was, even I was like, what is going on? Where am I?
Didn't your mum love it?
No, I didn't even ask her.
My mum recorded it, sent it to all the groups in India saying, look at this, Anuradha singing just like, a Gujarati bhajan.
And then there was like another song about India or something.
I love my India.
That was no, but that's because it was a big song. But it was also Republic Day.
Oh, yeah,
on
true.
On the 26th. Come
that's
on,
why.
Guys.
Yeah, you're right. That is why. Sorry. my dad told me it was Republic Day.
Yeah.
And he went, and I went, all right, so what's that? Yeah. What is that? And he went, well, you know, India got its independence on August 15th. And I went, yeah. I went, so what's the problem?
Did he not know?
Right. And he went, you know what, Tommy? I don't actually know.
I can tell you.
Go on, please.
It was when the Constitution was written out, finally. Oh. There we go.
Okay. So they wrote it in January, but it took another 8 months to get it
over the line.
Yeah. Right, okay, there was some issues.
Why have you lot got three drinks, by the way?
No, yeah. I've got my tea.
We just got some masala chai. Tea. You know what? I've got a little bit of sniff. I've got the sniff. It's banging in it. I told you, Tommy, don't ever pass on it. When I told you, the masala chai.
You better not have the bloody HMV or whatever. No, at the moment, your nose looks like you look like Rudolph.
It's gone a little bit red, but it's because I've been giving it a wipe.
Let's be honest, your nostrils ain't small.
No.
That is Rudolph. Honestly, your nose is red.
It is.
That's quite a me thing to get. What? I get the red nose. Yeah. I get the illness.
No, you know what? Today,
right. I've Christmas
been,
all year,
I've been blowing my nose non-stop. It's been leaking like a tap, mate. It's been horrific. No.
Man, sit over there. Go away.
No, well, no, I'm keeping my allergies to myself. But please. You know, we went from like legends that it was funny because it was the Sunday was a big day in musical history because we had the Bollywood legends.
But
right?
By the way, on that note, quickly, can we just big up our winners as well? Because we met them before we move on.
Did I meet the Birmingham? I didn't meet the Birmingham.
No, her name was Poonam though.
Poonam won the particular Birmingham.
Yeah, she was for Birmingham, and the winner for Wembley was Vaishali, if I can remember.
Yeah, we met them.
Yeah, and her and her sister.
Yeah.
They came. She said
you never won anything in her life before.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know what? That meant something to me because she went, you know what? Her words were, I never win anything. And I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I've never won a competition.
No.
Look, all I've done officially. Picked a winner for a little...
On a little random...
Yeah, it was a randomizer.
He used an app.
We're only legit here.
So generally, thank you for everyone who did enter. I know it's very hard for anybody else to be happy for somebody else when they won. No, because you're going, screw the Charlie. I hope she got stuck in traffic on the way home.
You've got to be in it to win it. Come on.
Yeah, you've got to be in it to win it. Yeah. People were saying, can I have the tickets? I'm like, well, then enter the competition, innit? People just messaging saying... And then they were like, believe it or not, entering.
That's how competition
I ain't entering no competition, like, as if I'm going to give them tickets.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it's someone that has never won anything and feels that, well, guess what? You're now a changed person.
She was grateful.
You are the person that won.
I think even Poonam said the same when I messaged her on Instagram. Right. She was just like, oh, wow. Like, it was, do you know, that like, really unexpected.
And that's a lovely feeling. So like I was saying, it was a big day, Sunday was, for concerts, because obviously we had like legends, four legends from, or three legends anyway, from India coming over to the UK to sort of perform. For the British Asian public, but also across the other side of the world, there was a big concert, and we kind of mentioned it briefly last week. Coldplay were in Mumbai, but this weekend they moved on to Gujarat.
Yeah,
and they actually
was those other ones. I thought that was all in Gujarat.
No, were three in Mumbai,
Oh, okay. And then they moved to Gujarat, and on Sunday they were in that big Narendra Modi cricket
stadium,
the massive stadium,
massive
one, 145,000.
Yeah,
it was. Well, hold a minute. How many does it seat when there's a cricket match on? Because obviously, because people aren't on the field.
I think it's about 110. I think.
Oh, okay. I thought.
No. It is. It's 100. It's 130 because it's bigger than any of the Australian grounds as well.
So it is that. Obviously, there's more because they can put
standing,
people on the pitch.
Yeah, on the pitch.
Yeah. So basically, it was the figures are 100 over 134,000 people.
That's right.
Basically, attended this music concert, which is the most attended concert in Asia in the 21st century.
And there was two dates, wasn't there?
Two dates. It was the third.
Why did they say the 21st century like that? Like, was there some random concert?
There might be.
Like 100 years ago, we'd like you know, some gathering.
It's the biggest
Kumbh Mela.
Kumbh Mela. Maybe it's the biggest Coldplay show ever, and it's the third highest grossing show in Asia.
Wow.
Look at that. Wow. You know, the videos from this were unbelievable.
It looked Super Bowl-esque.
Yeah, it looked mad.
It looked like the Super Bowl. And if anything, if Super Bowl people are listening, that's where you need to take it because that just looked beyond epic. Your eyes...
What? Hang on a minute. You want to take the Super Bowl to Ahmedabad? Is that what you said?
Why not? Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Super Dunga.
Super Dunga. Yeah. You need super bows before you even get there. I think this.
You even so get good. There, brother. You feeling all right?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Super Bow. Who's performing at the Super Bowl?
There'll be a few contenders for that. But there are talks that the Olympics are going to be happening in India as well. You know, and so they'll be using stadiums like this as well. And you know, like I thought it was quite funny how like there was a moment where of realization where, you know, obviously because Coldplay, firstly, Chris Martin was very good. Like, I don't know, there's videos of how he basically introduces the whole band members and says they've all been born in Gujarat.
Oh, very good.
And then he says, oh, so the drama here, he mentions all these really specific places in India, in Gujarat.
Very good.
Which the crowd went absolutely raucous for. Because, you know, he's talking about that and he knows a bit of the geography. So
he
love
spoke
that.
Gujarati as well, yeah.
And he spoke a bit of Gujarati. He did a massive big up to Jasprit Bumrah in Mumbai.
Yep.
And, nice. and then he even apologised for...
No, that was in Ahmedabad.
Oh, was that Namla as well? And then he apologised for the British sort of colonising India, and he apologised for that as
oh,
well.
Really?
I mean, he took it there. Justine Royale performed as well alongside them, which is a big look. Can I just say, only our people cussing her.
Why?
Not strong enough, not good enough. No. Something like Coldplay.
Justine Royale, okay. I'm not jumping on the Justine Royale.
But people were cussing her vocals.
We interviewed her years and years ago. And I remember always thinking... Don't take it the wrong way, and I really don't mean it in that kind of way. I thought she was cute,
yeah,
because a lot younger than me, but also like in a cute,
her voice is
cute voice, it's a cute look with the fringe,
yeah.
And it's funny because now I see her in her social media, and she's kind of grown older, and she's a bit more sassy. She's got a bit more of a performance to her. Mm. But I thought there's something about her that's just so likable and adorable, a bit like what we liked about Pratik Kohad. That kind of sound, that kind of collegey sound,
soft.
It was a cute. Lovable, heartbroken-y kind of, and her and a guitar. The fact that she's there, I feel proud.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Of course.
But there was this funny sort of a video that I saw where these two guys actually work out how much each ticket costs, which I think we know roughly how much they cost or something. But basically, they added it all up and they just said that on Republic Day, we got shafted again, India did, because basically Coldplay took out of the country 600 million rupees because of the cost of tickets.
It was something like,
and I thought that was quite funny.
12,500 rupees on average, about 120 quid ish.
A ticket. Times 134,000?
Yeah. Over 2 days.
Hold a minute. Let me do something.
That's one
day. They worked out as like something like 600 million rupees.
Okay, 134,000 tickets.
120.
Times £120.
Average.
16 million quid.
And they did that twice.
£32 million.
Right.
And how much are they saying? Would you say this?
They said something like 600 million.
So that is 600 million lakh? Not 600 million crore.
No, 600 crore.
600 crore, yeah.
Yeah. Which is only 6 million quid. And the mine numbers make it 16 million quid, which means some Gujarati accountant in Ahmedabad is going, ha, Mr. Coldplay, here is your 6 million. Yeah. And he's going, oh, wow, that's amazing. You know, we've broken new records in Ahmedabad.
They've done it.
You know, brilliant. Oh, so and he's going, ah, see you later.
There we go.
They've done about
£10
million.
Can I just say, though, I think out of everything, you know, the show and everything looked awesome.
Yes.
You see all the videos, they look
the
awesome.
Lighting.
Justine Royale, awesome.
Yeah.
Chris Martin smashed it. Whoever cued him to say all the things that, you know, he was meant to say along
brilliant.
The way.
It's brilliant.
The show was put together. But.
Oh, there's a but.
Gujaratis.
Yeah.
Coldplay performing.
Yeah.
They're doing good about to it.
Are they really?
Yeah, there's videos of it. And I was just like, do you know what, man? Like, you can't take the desi out of the desi.
Actually, you know what?
Why not?
Yeah. So, like.
I've never seen anyone do garba to Coldplay.
Yeah, but it's, that's what happens. No,
okay, but that's like saying, okay, I hope this is all right to say. If you get black people at a wedding, at an Indian wedding, they're going to be like looking all
Mowgli.
Like, they're flexing and like, you know, doing their little two steps.
That's
whatever.
How they move.
So then what you're trying to say is that's just the way our people dance.
Well, that's the way people dance with their own cultural references.
Yeah, like they don't know how to do the two step, do they, Satch, in Gujarat?
So hang on a minute. If you took a Gujarati to Garage Nation,
he'd
be doing garba fast.
Yeah. Bro, you can do garba to most garage songs. If anyone went to Disco Dandia nights at Brenton Hall, we were doing garba.
Okay, Afro beats. But you telling me you can do garba to Afro?
Absolutely, you can. You can do a little tantali move to that. Simples, come on.
Tantali. But it's just honestly, I can't. To be fair, like when you think of it. Like, you know, people do Bhangra to English music.
Yeah.
And I do think that's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like what Tommy says, it's just how your body moves and what it's conditioned to.
That's, yeah.
But then that just means that's how you dance. We're from Gujarat. We are proud to do our dharma.
Yeah. I will say that you are just programmed to do Gangnam.
Look, if you get Punjabis excited and there's music, they're literally straight away, one foot comes into the middle of a circle, everyone touches their ankles together, and they just go around in the circle. It's natural. It happens.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't hold that back.
I would say
I've never thought of it like that.
Gujaratis and Punjabis in that respect are very proud of their styles.
I agree.
And I joke about it in the stand-up. People have heard me have said, you know, I joke about the way Gujaratis do Bhangra, and I've been to Garba nights and all that. But you can tell there's just a sense of pride. So they are going to flex it. They're going to flex their kind of own cultural dance muscles wherever they go.
Talking of Punjabis as well, we have to talk about Punjabis flexing. There's been the talk of a Punjabi who's been flexing it all the way from China.
Oh,
you know, the AI one.
Yeah,
yeah. The deep seek.
Yeah.
This was hilarious actually because it's been all over the news.
Hang on. Deep seek. Double EK.
Yeah, obviously. So it's not really a seek guy, but all over the news today.
The Punjabi from
today's,
China.
Today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
All over the news today has been like, oh, and this AI from China has been sending America's markets plummeting.
Yeah.
It's called the deep seek. Mm. And it just sounds like an undercover seek guy in my head. That's why I heard deep seek.
Yeah.
But this is a deep seek app. Double EK.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even know what I'll be honest,
all I know is something about it. Nvidia losing a lot of money.
Yeah,
just to keep it sort of simple, and I don't want to obviously drown you with shit, all yeah.
Last time I tried to explain
AI stuff on the podcast, people fell asleep.
Yeah,
because you were chatting shit.
And I heard on the radio very quickly, there's a little side interjection last week. Something happened with obviously just before Donald Trump's inauguration, he released that coin.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guy, actually James O'Brien, I didn't say on LBC. Because can someone just explain to me what the coin is? Really, really give it to me in layman's terms.
Yeah. You should have asked me.
And by the way, I'm big on this. I'm big on, because I hate when people talk jargon. I've always said I think jargon keeps people out of industries and jobs.
He's the jargon king, and
I think it's a real toxic.
Jargling all over the place.
I think it's a real toxic man thing to do, like, you know, you wouldn't understand, or men that trying to patronize you. And men do it to other men as well, by the way. Men do it to me.
Mansplaining.
I really go,
fine,
you know,
I won't explain it then.
It's just this, and there's nothing to it.
And they just say it like,
Hold on. And then basically these guys came on and went, right, James, you know, on the radio, let me try and make it. He goes, right, so imagine you've got a coin and then like you got a blockchain, and then James goes, you've lost me with blockchain.
Yeah, don't know what that is.
And you hear him go, oh, you know what blockchain
that's
is.
That's Kedge.
I'm like, you're an ass then. You're an ass. You know, because you know, we don't know what anything is. Why don't you explain it properly? That winds me up. But go on.
I'll knock your blockchain off. To keep it simple,
everybody knows.
Blockchain. That's, I've got more to say about that.
That someone needs to do that song. So you know how everyone knows about ChatGPT? Right, this is basically coming.
You all know about ChatGPT.
Yeah, basically,
but I don't really, I don't. I do and I don't.
The AI model where, you know, you can type in things, it and can ask Google, whatever, and you can ask questions, and it basically, it's refined. It can refine your CV for you. It can do loads of things, right? It can code, all of this kind of thing. Yeah. Basically, the Chinese have come up with DeepSeek, which is basically...
No, say it properly.
DeepSeek.
Yes.
And
and like a fresh.
I know, DeepSeek. And it's basically bigger, faster, quicker than ChatGPT. It's for the first time ever, AI has now lost its job because of AI. Just think of it like that.
It's a better AI.
That's the simple layman version of it. They've shrunk it. So let's just say if ChatGPT costs £1.8 trillion to power it, these guys have done it in like £6 million.
Wow.
Right? So they've basically refined it, they streamlined it, and also rather than having maybe this is getting a little bit too much, but rather than having all these parameters searching one thing, right, which is what ChatGPT does, what DeepSeek does is whatever your question is, it will only use the experts in that field to give you the answer. Therefore it's using less power. And it's quicker.
Okay.
Quicker, but ChatGPT is pretty bloody instant.
No, this is even quicker.
How can it be even quicker than instant?
This is talking to you in real time as well. So some of the things that it can do is basically it's actually thinking in real time now, which again is a bit of a game changer for how these models are working.
You know what? You know if everyone remembers being in like a history class,
yeah,
and the teacher's talking away and you look around at your mate and your mate's just looking out the window, that's what I just did at Satch. I look around at Satch, he's looking the other way to Gedge.
I'm not interested.
Guess what? You lost me.
No, but I'm out the room.
But
you know,
and this is Gedge running in exciting layman's terms.
Yeah, no, but you can use it on all hardwares, and that's the thing, it's accessible on most or on all devices and all of this kind of stuff, on all types of hardware. So it's just like all of a sudden it's like, wow, the game is just, this is, and I know you love this,
go on.
This is a massive disruption moment.
Oh, good.
So how is this mashing up all the stocks?
Yeah. And
I don't know about that.
Okay. And what's this got to do with NVIDIA?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know.
So all up,
that's an AI company.
Yeah, so but what I heard about NVIDIA, and only because it came up on something like, you know, companies or apps that are worth the most money.
Mm.
And NVIDIA came up. Mm. I mean, this is about a year or two ago. And I went, really? Because I've heard the name. Mm. But
you know, I can tell you the NVIDIA thing, and this is the proper jargon, right?
Everyone's like, you need to invest in this.
Right, so the reason why it's scary for NVIDIA is because their entire business model is built on selling super expensive GPUs with 90% margins. If everyone can suddenly do AI with regular gaming GPUs, well,
lost me. You see the problem.
Okay, but and that's why they've lost that big
Yeah, and this is why it's a problem
do you
for
know,
NVIDIA.
Do you know, by the way, while I was out in the room there for the last 2 minutes and I didn't know what Kedge was on about, yeah. Do you know what I was thinking about, Tommy? We should make this. Chat shit GPT.
Yeah, it just gives. Go on, chat shit GPT. Where what? Where you?
You ask it a question, it just gives you something random.
So let's say
we could give the answers. Okay.
So what would you?
Would I be running this platform?
Okay. Yeah. What would you? Okay. So what are the kind of things you put into chat GPT? What would you say?
Yeah. What would you ask at chat GPT?
You don't really use it to. You don't.
You can ask it Google, something,
but like you, like say if you wanted to write a letter, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we could do that.
A letter to your GPT. Boss about.
No, you're going
to
quit your job, right? So yeah. Give me a permission.
So
ChatGPT would write.
So you just got to know the parameters, and you can't say, right, you know, can you please write a humorous resignation letter to whoever my boss is, Tommy Sandu, to say that I'm leaving on the 15th of January. Blah blah blah, and then it'll do it for you. And then
that would do the kind of the proper one would be like, you know, I'm want to broaden my horizons. I really appreciate the opportunities you've given me, and it's been a great learning.
That's
what ChatGPT.
Yeah,
would do.
Yeah, okay.
So then ChatGPT would go. I'm leaving because the toilet roll in the men's toilet is reacting with my anus,
like tracing
and
paper,
and it's flared up.
Exactly.
And I have to leave just for the sake of my arsehole.
Exactly. So that can happen. Can happen.
I'm gone.
Later. So, okay, good. I like it. ChatGPT. Set it up. We'll bring the whole house down.
Well, no one will be using it. That's the thing.
Well, I think they would. I think they would.
As an alternative. And by the way, I'm not saying this. Just about a week ago, I heard a bit of a backlash, the first time ever, to ChatGPT, where so many people are on it that everyone's kind of going, everyone can spot it now a mile off. Everyone can hear... when ChatGPT is being used. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
And I'll be honest. Okay. Can I say this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all right.
I don't think it's that obvious to use.
So, no, I tell you how it's obvious. This is so bad. This might well get me sacked from one of my jobs. Let me see what happens. Oh. The Colours TV show that I do, right? Desi B. So the production team are Indian, right? Yeah. And so when they write a script, the words don't make sense, right?
Some of them.
Lot of them, right? So I'll go... Guys, this doesn't make sense. And they go, oh, don't worry, you can do it in your own way. And I went, I'm not doing it my own way. I'm going to just put it into English. Right? You know, like, right? And then all of a sudden, the scripts were amazing. Mm. And I went, and I looked up and I went, who wrote this?
Yeah.
Right? And they're all grinning.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, it's ChatGPT, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, no. So basically, but then after a while, it becomes a bit too flowery and obvious, like, the decadent taste of this wonderful flavor. Yeah. I'm like, no one actually talks like this either. There's no human side to this.
Yeah.
And I still think there's room for improvement. And I had people saying, yeah, it's easy to spot a mile off, but now that old DeepSeek's coming along.
DeepSeek is moving quicker.
Deep Seek, it's come with this bug
it's,
on.
It's
coming to kind of mess things up. There you go. Good.
We have to also just quickly mention, because obviously we did again last week, about the planetary lineup that was supposed to happen on the 25th.
Yeah. I saw it.
Satch, it's one of the first things that you sort of started moaning about when we met.
Yeah, no,
today.
I mean, you know, the day was meant to be the 25th, I believe, of Jan, which was Friday, just gone.
Yeah.
Come out my house on Friday because I weren't working, I was out for dinner that night with some mates. Looked out the window. No, come out the porch. Looked up. couldn't see nothing.
Oh,
no,
really?
No planets to nothing Ross. At all. And usually when I'm looking around at night on a normal day, you know, just looking up at the sky, I see everything under the sun.
Yeah.
My wife said she saw it on Saturday night.
Oh, so people have seen it. Actually.
What? But she said it was like three or four twinkles. Yeah,
you could only see four,
but,
max.
Bruv, that happens every night.
Yeah.
No. You can see certain things, but what you have to understand from, like, if you had
put it simple
drone,
for us dumb people, guys.
Well, no. But if it was a drone above the galaxy, then you'd see all these planets lined up. That's the wow about it. It's that they were all lined up. And that only happens every 140 years.
No, but they're only lined up from whatever way you look at it, right?
Yeah, if you move to a different spot, you can line them up.
They're not going
to
be lined up.
Yeah?
No, but if they're all lined up, you wouldn't be able to see them. But what I'm trying to say is like they were lined up in their journeys around the sun.
Yeah.
You have to understand that.
Yeah, like is it all crosses
like the
over?
Chance of that happening is you know, like happens once every 138 years. Didn't impress or whatever
me.
It was.
Didn't impress me.
So we're never going
to
see it.
To be
again.
Fair, no. It's still on until middle of February. You can still see it.
Right, well, there you go. Have a little look, Satch.
Yeah, I mean, I look up in the sky all the time. Usually when I'm sort of on my way back and coming in quite late from a gig, I always look up in the sky for some reason before I walk into my house.
Mm.
And I always see some mad shit. But didn't see nothing on Friday.
There we go.
And to be fair, even if I did see something, I'd be like, well, that ain't impressive.
You probably didn't know what you were looking for, Satch, as well.
No, I do, but it's just, what's a light in the sky going to do? Like,
well, apparently it's just being part
unless
of the
unless I see
it's
like Jupiter this close in my face, then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right,
I'm
fine.
Impressed.
Okay, well, then you need to.
Otherwise, it's one of these. It's a twinkly light on the ceiling.
Oh, Satch, you need a telescope, mate.
That's what it is. I think you might need a telescope to kind of catch.
Satch needs a telescope to see the rings. A lot of people need to get. And you know what I've noticed is a lot of people on the train need to invest in headphones.
What would you mean?
Because the big story this week is about how playing loud tunes in public is just rude. Now,
but
most.
Bruv, hello, rewind the podcast a few weeks.
Yeah.
Remember, I told you I confronted that guy.
Well, you were the start of this. This is why this survey has happened.
I've noticed it's happened more and more recently.
Yes, and 8 in 10 people have said they hate it when others blare out videos and tunes on transport in public spaces, but actually they're too scared to tell them.
Cage.
Well, yeah, but I think most people are. I think most people are. 4 in 10 believe that the habit is on the rise. That's us. That's three of us and someone else. Right, literally, that we think that everyone's doing this. But 6 in 10 say they would not ask the culprits to wear headphones out of fear of being ignored, shouted at, or intimidated.
No,
but what if you like the tune?
And you know what?
You don't. And the other day, I was sitting on a train and I heard someone blaring the phone. Okay. So I looked, and it's funny, isn't it? How we're designed. I looked up and I just went, right, where's the desi?
Yeah, you thought it was an Asian person. Yeah,
it wasn't a desi.
What was the song though?
No, it wasn't a song. He was listening, I think, probably to his wife moaning on WhatsApp. And
like a voice note.
Yeah, but I think it was Polish or Romanian. And I'm like, bruv, does this have to be done loudly?
I think I'm going to say this. Chances are, and I'm going to say, because it's a stereotype, it's not racist, right?
Yeah.
Chances are, that kind of behaviour is non-British. British people, and we are British because we're born here.
But we don't do stuff like that.
No, you're wrong. People do.
What?
British
like
people do.
People born and raised here.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
And I think, you know, look, you've just said but that's on the train. Wait, is this survey just out in public or on the public transport? So this is what happened to me the other day. I think it was maybe about 3 days ago when I went out for a walk because the weather was quite nice. Walking down the road, had my headphones in. I can't remember what I was listening to. I think it was like Joe Rogan, for example. But I could hear music coming towards me. All I could see was a guy on a bike. The bike had like one of those attachment things at the back where he had his kid in it. So it was like a little trike attached to the bike.
Yeah.
He was playing garage music coming towards me.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's playing?
What?
Artful Dodger and Dream Team.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't enough. You know that? Doing it again and again. And I was just, I took my headphones and I was like, yeah, man, I was getting you. Who's playing this?
Yeah.
Expecting it to come out of a car.
No, but that's fine.
Bruv, he had like this boombox thing. It's like in the kids.
But that's okay. But that's
like, I was like, do you know what? I stopped and I said to the man, number one, that's a banger. Number two, keep going. Because, you know, people in our area want to hear this.
Yeah. And also,
but that's
like,
different.
It's like when you get rickshaw guys going along and they got like sound systems and all that as well. That is different. But this is more getting, you get on a train and I'm going to recreate.
Kedge, what if he's just playing like Bashment? That you like, Sean Paul?
I don't mind that. But
so now you don't mind that? Then you that's you. Yeah, that's,
but
nah,
but I think, but then, I think a conversation with like some woman, like maybe his wife or whoever it was.
No, but that's longer. Some people might like that. It's their taste. To their taste.
No. It wasn't a song, bro. No, it was his wife probably moaning at him. Like what I'm trying to say, it was like people are just playing like shows, Netflix shows in different languages, full blast, and they're watching it. And I'm like, I tried to do a Tommy, because I know Tommy tried to, obviously Tommy said it to someone.
Hang on a minute.
I looked at her and I just went, and everyone started looking at her.
Yeah.
Everyone looked at her and I wanted to see the reaction. No, but, and but, she was but, an Asian mussy. Right.
Hang on a minute. Tommy was on the train a few weeks ago singing with the whole carriage.
Yeah.
Does that contribute to that?
Everyone was involved. I thought that's different. I thought that.
How's that different?
If you're spreading
joy.
No,
hang on a minute. But that's, again, subjective. Some people might find it joyful. Some people might be sitting there saying, shut the F up.
No, but okay. I think two things. I think that is 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Right? I was on the train.
Everyone's a little bit tips.
It was the week of Christmas.
Yeah, okay. No, right?
It was a Friday, Saturday night.
I get all of that.
And everyone on the carriage. And some people probably were like, oh, shut up, man.
I don't like that song. No, shut up. Yeah. But what was the song, by the way?
We were singing all the songs. We did a whole load of them.
I'm Every Woman.
Luxury.
I did my. We did Christmas songs. We did Bon Jovi. We did just a whole load of kind of like sing along karaoke anthems. But anyway, but when I got on the train and this person had their phone just blaring out playing stuff, I remember I came on the train, sat down, heard it, looked up, like where's that?
Yeah,
like, looked two seats up. There's a guy holding his phone playing his tunes. And then I look up, I remember, I'll never forget the face of the people opposite me who were older than me.
Yeah.
Who sort of look at me like, I know. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, and I'm so glad I did, because I was just in that mood where I was just
NFG.
And I was I dressed it straight away rather than leaving it for a stop. Once you leave it, then what? You can't do it in a bit. Mm. I went, I'm sorry. I said, that's your phone. And he went, yeah. I went, it's not for all of us. It's just for you.
I remember you saying.
I said, so if you want that, I said, you should get headphones.
Yeah.
And he went, oh. But he went, oh, sorry. It was like oblivious.
Yeah, oblivious. Yeah.
Completely oblivious. By the way, very quick side note. Today in the David Lloyd gym.
Here we go. Tales from David Lloyd gym. Episode three.
Two conversations, right? Firstly.
Balls on leather.
I had a conversation with a guy in the cold. There's a cold room as well, like an ice room.
Okay. Oh, I love that cold room.
There's like bits of ice drop
wicked,
out.
Wicked.
Yeah, right?
Wicked.
And you rub the ice.
How long do you stand there?
No, well, I come out of the sauna steam and I rub it over my knees and my hips and all the sore bits.
Is it a hot room with ice falling down? Or is it a cold room?
It's a cool room
like, with ice in it.
Yeah, with ice in it.
We've got a sauna with ice.
That's a nice combo. That's a nice combo.
Tommy, you need to come.
That's like an ice cream waffle sandwich.
Yeah, it's like lovely.
Hot and cold together. Hot and cold. But anyway, I'm in there. Starting with this guy, lovely guy, Paul. And I said, "Oh, what do you do?" He goes, "To be a property." I go, "Where?" He went, "Well, actually, in India." And I thought, okay, I'll let that one go. And basically he's doing a development in Goa. He's doing an Airbnb there.
Right.
And then we started getting onto NFGs of Indians.
Right.
And I said, we have a thing on my podcast where, you know, a lot of Indians are NFG, they just don't care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was actually saying, he goes, if you think this is his words, he is Jewish. Yeah. And he went, if you think Indians are NFG, he goes, Jews at NFG. I said, and Jewish people love India.
Yeah.
All the Jewish people I've ever met will go, oh my God, India's so magical, India's so special.
Yeah. Big Jewish population.
Particularly
there.
Israelis. Israelis love it for the hippie element. They love Goa. There's a real thing. And he goes, maybe that's why they get on. They're just a bunch of NFGs. And he then adopted the phrase NFGs.
But he
does lots of property stuff in India. But you know when all of a sudden someone's telling you about places and he goes, oh, have you been to... Himachal Pradesh. Have you been to this? Have you been to that? I'm like, nope. No, not even there.
He goes, Bin Punjab, mate.
Exactly. And he goes, then he went, oh, I've been Chandigarh. And I went, oh, I don't think I've ever been Chandigarh. I've done all the other
Chandigarh
ones.
Chandigarh is really nice, man.
But the thing I overheard in the changing room.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, these are the silly little things that do my head in.
In the changing room.
Like, because it's my job. You got to understand. Please understand. I'm obviously not normal, whatever that means, is when you hear words, when you hear songs, you know, or even deep seek and all that, your mind just takes things elsewhere.
Straight away,
within split seconds sometimes.
Yep.
And actually, that's what I do on stage. And that's what people go, oh my God, how'd you think of that? I'm like, oh, that's all I think of.
Yeah.
So I'm in there and the guy goes, oh, so what are you up to nowadays? I know they were talking. Two people behind me were talking, right?
Yeah.
And it was actually an old Gordon guy, just to picture it, and a young Asian guy with a beard.
Right.
And the old Gordon guy is going to the Asian guy, you know, so and so. They're talking about people that have kind of fallen off the rails, drinking, smoking, gambling, whatever.
Yeah.
Quite a deep convo then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I'm half listening in this morning. This is first thing in the morning, about 8:40 in the morning. I just dropped the kids off at school, and then I'm half listening in. And then the guy goes, he goes, I didn't get involved in any of that. He goes, I just keep myself to myself, just do my work. Just right. And he goes, oh, good on you. He goes, what do you do for work?
Yeah.
He goes, I am in currency exchange.
Okay.
Right.
The guy then goes, the guy goes, is there any money in that?
Hey!
And nobody picked up on, and I, you know, my head just goes, is there any money in currency?
Like, what a great joke.
And I look around and he goes, you know, and it gets me, but, and they're just carrying on the conversation. I'm like,
love it.
Are you serious?
Have you missed that?
Like,
but that's the beauty of life, where, you know, they're not seeing that, but you can see that. And that's always trying to look at it from a different angle.
But you know, honestly, I couldn't have lifted my eyebrows up anymore. Like, is there any money?
That's an obvious one.
Honestly, if he'd done it as a joke, I would have gone, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's
if he'd just done it that quickly, go, oh, we can carry anything. Yeah. And it, like, I remember when I'm going to just say, because it's my little joke and I didn't get to do it in public.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get to do it again. When I got into the Shard lift,
yeah,
and the guy was in there pressing the buttons.
Yeah.
I went, what's it like working here? He goes, that's okay. I went, I bet it has its ups and downs.
Ups and downs. Right? Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And everyone in the lift laughed. He obviously didn't, because he thought I was taking a piss. Yeah. But I went, no, I was extra nice to him. But then I remember him saying, by the way, he goes, you know, they got apartments in the Shard.
Yeah.
And he went, they're like 5 million an apartment. He goes, it's not worth it. And I thought, I was so disappointed. I was like, don't say that. This tourist in here.
No.
We're coming up the shop.
You've got to big it up.
They're the most amazing apartments ever. Yeah. £5 million each.
Highest toilet in London.
But he then went, oh, who would pay that? Why would you pay £5 million for an apartment?
No, he's a bit grumpy.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, life had more downs. He was a downer. But anyway, that's what I'm overhearing in the changing rooms.
Right, things we learned. Let's crack on.
Are we there already?
We are there.
I'll tell you what, thing I learned relating to this restaurant?
Go on.
Because we were talking to lovely Rishi, who runs this restaurant, owns this restaurant, Bombay Central, where we are in Harrow. Honestly, lovely food. I'm telling you, hopefully you can hear all throughout this podcast, there's been a bit of a buzz to it.
Yeah.
That's the food, bruv.
Yeah.
We weren't in this mood when we came here.
No.
We've had the food and it's put us on an up arrow.
Yeah. Mm. Even Satcha hasn't been that moody.
I still use that phrase.
What?
Put us on an up arrow. Where's that from, Kedge?
And put us on an up arrow?
Yep.
Go on.
That's from
an up arrow.
Film. I've now got completely blank with the name.
You keep your arrow down.
No. It's the up arrow is. What was the game before FIFA? What did everybody play?
Pro Evo. Pro Evo. Yeah, up arrow.
When the player was on form, he was on up arrow.
Yeah. The up arrow.
That is so random.
No, you got to know that. You got to know that reference. Because I'm going to go, man. And I still say that phrase. I'm going to go, man, I'm on up arrow today.
Up arrow.
Yeah. Anyway, so Rishi from the restaurant told us a little something as he was just talking about food. Because I told him, I said, your food here is really clean. It's really lovely. He goes, it's really important. He goes, even with the beer.
Yeah.
He goes, whenever you go, so this is the thing I've learned this week.
This is great.
Right? And this is good for beer drinkers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We can still share the love, even though we're not necessarily drinking the beers, right? And he said, if ever you go to a pub, always ask the pub, what's your most popular beer and order that one. He goes, because beer only really lasts properly in a keg for a week.
Yeah.
He goes, so you don't want a beer that's been sitting there for longer than that.
Right.
So find out what the most popular beer is. That's the one that would have been changed the most regularly and get that one. He also then went on to say, this is part two of the things I learned.
Incredible.
So number one.
This is incredible knowledge.
Next time you're going, so order the most popular beer, number one, in a pub. Secondly, on the pint glass, there's a little, like a reference code.
Yeah.
And it will have like normally an M and then the year the glass was made. M 24,
yeah.
M23, M22, 21. He goes, sometimes you might go into a pub, let's say you order something like a bit of an old school drink like a Foster's.
Yeah.
He goes, you'll see M14.
Yeah.
He goes, now you think that glass has been used that many times for 10 years.
Yeah.
He goes, and then at the bottom of these glasses, they've got these tiny little ridges. And I've seen that before.
Yes.
Which effectively stirs up the beer and whips up the bubbles. So you've got more of a biting, fizzy beer. He goes, over the years, that wears down.
Right.
He goes, either go in there with your own glass or go in there and say.
Because that's not weird.
Yeah, that's not weird at all.
No.
He goes, ask to see the glass. Can I see the glass that you're going to serve it in? Right, great. Yep. 23, 24. That's fine. He's still got the little bruise in the bottom. So there you go. So
it's good, but
so it's got the year of the glass and get the most popular beer.
Even asking someone, can I see the glass? A bit weird.
It is a bit weird, but I'm going to try it.
I hope they kick you out. I hope they kick you out, Kej.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try. Because it's one of them ones where if you pull out in front of your crew...
I beg your pardon, you can't.
You can't do that. Yeah. You're definitely going to get kicked out.
If you pull out with your crew, everyone's going to go, what is he on about? And then you tell them that, they'll go, wow.
More than just that bubbles in that glass, mate.
Knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. That is intel.
Yeah.
Can I go next?
Go on.
Because just like Tommy, my factors come from Bombay Central as well.
Oh, okay, go on.
Something that popped up on the screen. And it's like this place has been made for us to do the podcast from.
Go on.
Because it was giving me facts about India, in particular Indian railways.
Yeah? Yeah, what's your fact?
How many trains operate daily in India?
Oh wow!
How many trains operate daily
in India? This is combining passenger trains and freight.
2,000.
Okay. What? No.
No. No. More.
Okay. Do you mean trains or journeys?
No, trains. Trains. So how many trains? How many trains are operating daily in India?
So connected carriages, that's one train.
For freight and for passengers. So just a train.
In all of India, that must be in all of India. No,
it's
daily.
More than that.
10,000.
I hate questions like this because you could say 500,000, they go, oh, that could be correct. Or I know, right? Yeah. Or you could say something like really, you know, a bit more. Okay, I'm going to go, oh man, look at the landmass of it. All those trains, all that freight, all the moving around, all those people, how do you serve 1.5 billion people with freight and trade? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's got to be 50,000.
What is it?
22,500 trains a day.
Wow. That is a lot, though, isn't it?
22,500 trains a day.
A day. And then...
And that's the trains. Probably not just doing one journey.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. And can I give you a quick little part two? Because I saw the other bit of it as well.
Okay.
Indian Railways is one of the largest employers in the world, providing jobs for over 1.2 million people.
Wow.
22,000 trains, 1.2 million people employed.
Indian Railways.
That is.
Get your head around that.
That's an industry.
Well done.
Thanks, Bombay Central.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So my one is obviously not nicked from anybody working here or on the screens. I actually had done my own bit of research and found this one out. But it's to do with food and restaurants. And that is, you know, when you go to restaurants and they always give you, or maybe not so much nowadays, but you know where you always get, they always give you bread to start off with.
Yeah.
Right? What is the reason?
Usually Italian.
Yeah, usually Italian. You know the reason why they give you?
Yeah, or Turkey.
You don't get bread at Italian now.
Now they charge you.
Now they charge you.
Like bread sticks.
Yeah.
No, but even bread, you only get bread at an Turkish when you order like a hummus or like a baba ghanoush.
No, if you don't, because trust me, I'm conjuice like this. And also, you end up filling up on it. So if you just order your main shawarma, beiti, whatever, right?
Yeah.
They'll bring over the bread and a bit of zayn. Yeah.
What did you just say? You end up filling yourself up on it?
Yeah.
Okay, right. This is
for
people like you.
Okay, and right. Let me go one stage further.
Go on.
My dad, I still remember.
Yeah.
Bernie Inn was the restaurant.
Okay.
My dad, bless him, right? He used to take us to restaurants like, you know when other Asian dads just didn't? Everyone just ate at home.
So I
used to flipping love it. Mm. We used to go to these kind of, what was like a harvester.
Right.
And I actually told him this the other day. Because they do the ice cream in a long, tall glass with the massive jumcha.
Yeah,
so Knickerbocker.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it was just ice cream with a chocolate swirl in it.
Beautiful.
Mm. And you could see the chocolate running all the way down the side of the glass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the bread rolls would come out.
Yeah.
And I would smash four of them.
Right.
And my dad would go, stop. Yeah. Stop, you're filling up on bread. And I remember telling myself when I was little, I was going, when I'm older, I'm never going to stop my kids from filling up on bread.
Okay.
What do I do?
You did it.
I stopped them from filling up on bread.
Okay, well,
do you know what? Do you know what, Tommy? It's funny you say that because it was role reversal this weekend. We all came to a concert. Me, my mum, I bought my mum, and I bought my aunt and uncle. We went out for dinner before. Yeah. Took them to Marouche.
Nice.
I rang you from there. I said, Tommy, do you want a little takeaway?
Yeah, bless you. Yeah.
Got there, ordered the hummus. The three of them smacking up the bread. And I was just like, forget that. There's a lot more shit coming.
Good stuff.
And do you know what? They filled up on the bread and the salad and the baba ghanoush and everything else. And
then the mains came, they're like, oh.
Wow.
Like, there was falaf orders, like chicken shawarma, there was this, that, and the other. Like.
Okay, well, I'm now. Sorry, I feel like this is definitely for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And for everybody else who's listening.
I'm going to pass it on to them. Yeah,
and I'll tell you, one other thing on it is, I imagine you're quite disciplined like this. I don't mind.
I don't mind. I do like a little bit of bread because, like you said, having a bit of pasta, it's always good to just scoop up the sauce.
Bread. You can't bake.
I love it. I do love it. I do love it.
Baked as well.
The reason why restaurants give you bread. The reason why restaurants give you bread. What is bread, firstly? it's basically like cake, isn't it? Right? It's a cake in disguise. It's full of sugar.
I've switched off.
It's full of sugar. We put butter on it to make ourselves feel better, but it's cake. Generally, it's got the same things as cake, right? What it does is when you eat bread, it spikes your insulin.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it spikes your insulin, what does it mean? It means you're craving more food. So therefore, it makes you hungrier. That's why restaurants want you to eat the bread so that you eat more food. So all that nonsense of don't fill yourself up on the bread, that's wrong. They're just giving you that trash food at the beginning so that you eat more food at the restaurant. Okay. There we go. That's the science behind it. The restaurateurs know it, and that's why they shove that bread.
I don't think that's always the case, Cage.
Well, I don't know what bit of that you want to argue, but let's go for it.
Where do they shove the bread for you?
Down your throat.
Yeah. I'm now just going off one. When you get that salty butter in restaurants.
There we go.
And you get crispy, crunchy bread.
Oh, there we go.
And you get that.
Yeah.
And bro, I'll be honest, I don't just spread the butter. We spoke about this or something else. Oh. Like I have clumps of it.
Yeah. You talk about lumps on
toast
it. Yeah.
on the toast as well, and how you butter your toast. Yeah. Whether you put a thin slice of bread, and I'm like, nah, I don't mind puddles of butter. I love butter.
Yeah,
butter is.
Well, there we go. So it's like putting butter on cakes.
Yeah,
Kid, I don't think that's entirely true. Your thing.
Well, bread is made of lots of sugar.
No, but then there's for example, when you go to,
I mean, you can try and disguise it however you want to make yourself feel better about it.
No, but I do also believe that it's a cultural thing as well. Not, and it's not just the money making thing. Because when you go France, you go Spain, Portugal, Italy,
I eat all their breads.
Bread's just part of their meal.
No, I get that, but the whole point you have to understand is that
it's just
bread.
Like, oh, they want to make money at you.
No, you have to understand the science behind it, is what I'm saying.
Okay. But even at home will still have bread with their meal.
But the idea of it fills you up, that's not right.
Okay, so it will. Yeah, but I think if you have 6 bread rolls as an 8-year-old, I think the danger is your dad's going, and you've just ordered the burger, you're not going to eat it, you little shit. So that's it's going to be a waste. Yeah. But anyway, I love it. I love bread and butter. So much olive bread, seeded
bread. That's the title.
Bread.
I love bread and butter.
Yeah, I do.
I love
bread and butter. Seeded bread. You know, like that black seeded bread.
Oh, banging.
And butter, I love. Do you know what I tell you? When I was little, they used to find my teeth marks in the butter dish.
Wow.
I'd open up the butter
and just dish. Go for it.
And just take a bite out of it, like an apple.
Take love a bite it. Out of the butter.
I think that's why my skin's so good. I got all pure butter in my skin.
Okay.
It keeps you looking young.
I don't know anyone that would bite the butter.
Oh, mate. They'd find it in the fridge as well, like the dicky
butter. That is
butter.
Disgusting.
Just butter or what about cheese?
No, I didn't like cheese until I was about in my late teens, 18, 19.
Did you take a nibble out of?
No.
In the fridge?
No. The next door neighbour's what? No.
Easy.
No. But the butter, I said, oh, God. I just love the creaminess of it. But now butter's gone soft. Not literally soft, but it's gone weak. Not a salty tasty. Anyway, sorry, I'm going off on my... I'm still thinking about food.
Ooh, butter.
stick it on me. All right, thank you all for listening as always. Any other messages, any other reports, anything happening next week? Where are we next week?
Still to be TBC.
TBC.
By the way, Ked, you're not having a week off when you go away. Just put it out there.
That's also TBC. Okay.
He's already
Ked
tried
put
it.
In the request leave. He's going to India and he's making out that India, one of the leading tech places in the world...
has no internet.
Yeah, as no doubt. By the way, sorry, a little update. My mum and dad are going to India, right? And
can they do a podcast?
No. My dad, all of a sudden, has decided he needs to take a radio with him. Because he likes to listen to the radio in his room.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, how's the radio going to work over there? I need a radio that's kind of friendly.
Like old-school tuner old school, one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my sister bought him one, like one that could work around the world. But it's so small and crap; it's got no proper sound to it. And I went, Dad, you can use your phone.
Phone, yeah.
And just have the app. You will have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Like what's his station of choice? Will he listen to?
Oh, he's anything. Sadly, he's still with the BBC.
Yeah.
But he loves Radio 4. He loves Radio 4.
Okay, fine.
He loves the news program.
But you can listen to that on the app.
Exactly. Yeah. But I need to just. Explain that okay. and say there is another.
That's
way.
A day's process.
You don't. Yeah, exactly. It needs to kind of thing, and then I got to show.
So your parents are off. Kedge is off. I'm off after that.
Yeah.
Tell me when you going.
I am not going anywhere. I've got a couple of days away with the missus in March. But I'll put that request leaving properly. But I don't think that affects anything with us and timing. And then I go at the end of March.
Right. Okay.
To a proper holiday for Easter. But don't worry. Let's deal with Kedge first.
Yes.
With him. Right. Until next week, boys. Laters.
Laters.